The days of free university are remembered fondly by some and thought of wistfully by others. These days, students can resign themselves to graduating from university with at least a $20,000 hex debt dangling over their heads. However, a group of universities from around the world are challenging this expectation, offering free online courses in everything from artificial intelligence to introduction to criminology. Sound too good to be true? Bridget Backhouse went looking for the catch.
This is a new style of tertiary education, a new way to learn a university course. It consists of free delivery online of a series of lectures in a subject area like, say, chemical engineering or Middle Eastern archaeology. That's supported by assessment. There is interaction between the student and other students. And at the end of the program, those who pass the course receive a certificate. What makes these programs powerful is that they are being offered by the leading universities in the world.
That was Professor Simon Marginson from the Centre for Higher Education Research at the University of Melbourne explaining MOOCs, or Massive Open Online Courses. Some of the world's most prestigious universities, including Stanford, Harvard and Princeton, are using this format to offer free courses online. MOOCs could be the beginning of an education revolution. Sites like edX and Coursera are offering hundreds of different courses from the world's top universities for free. While the universities involved are quick to point out that the courses offered are not degrees and cannot be used for credit towards degrees, the first response has been, like the name suggests, massive. Dr. David Glantz is the director of the Centre for Software Practice at the University of Western Australia.
I think the two guys in Stanford really sort of set the ball rolling, although they didn't necessarily invent the term, but they put one of their computer science courses online, and I think 160,000 people registered to actually take that course. So I think that the thing is that one of the elements of this is the fact that they've made this available to really anybody in the world to actually take part in, but the other is that they've developed a platform to deliver more courses and give a sort of a user experience which really sometimes you don't even get when you go to a university and pay for a course.
He's completed a course himself and was quite impressed.
I enrolled in a introductory course to sociology, which is not my primary field, but sort of an area of interest. It was taught out of Princeton University. And I thought that the experience was actually quite fantastic. The lectures were video recordings of the lecturer, and they actually ran tutorials, and they did assessments. And so you did a midterm exam and a final exam where they got everybody else to mark each other's work, and I think that system worked very well. So for me, I learnt a lot, and I felt that the actual experience was very close to the experience I would have got at a university, except for it was at Princeton University and it was free.
So what does this mean for traditional universities? A quick walk around the halls of the Queensland University of Technology found mixed reactions from staff and students.
Yeah, sounds pretty good. I'd give it a go.
It's probably useful, but it doesn't replace a formal university academic education.
Both Dr. Glantz and Professor Marginson agree that bricks and mortar universities don't have anything to worry about just yet.
Well, I think what's going to happen is a lot of bricks and mortar universities are going to use these programs as part of their program. They're going to encourage or directly enrol their students into courses that are being offered by Harvard and MIT or by Stanford or others, because that in effect gives them a very cheap form of teaching, really solid content.
I don't think it's going to replace a university in the short term, but I think it will impact on how we actually deliver courses and the expectations of students, you know, who know that if they're paying for a course, they've got something to compare it against now in terms of how it would be delivered out of universities like Stanford and Harvard and MIT.
The question remains about Australia's contribution to this worldwide education transformation.
I think that universities are still trying to work out how to actually use this and how to respond. My view is that I would really like to see Australian universities, and my own in particular, actually contributing courses, because I think that there is unique content that we in Australia have. And so I think that we can actually deliver courses that would be of interest to the rest of the world.
Professor Marginson is slightly less optimistic, but is curious to see what will happen.
I think you'd have to, sort of question whether any Australian university even Sydney, Queensland, Melbourne, ANU can really compete in this sort of global program game. This is very much a market that's going to be dominated by the household names, the really big brands. Your local university, no matter how good, it doesn't have a global name, so it can't build enormous amount of traffic in the same way. It can't compete, I don't think. Having said that, I might be wrong. I mean, it may be that the Australians will specialise successfully in certain areas that the world will see as things that Australia is very good at.
Dr. Glantz says more accessible university can only be a good thing.
The only real way to find out what it's like is actually to do a course, and you don't have to do the exams, and you can watch videos, and there's just a whole range of them, so I'd encourage everybody to try one, really.